DW Africa Link. Is Nigeria's richest man, Aliko Dangote, the solution to his country's fuel crisis? Many are angry about the record high levels of fuel in the country. The Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation, NNPC, recently increased the petrol price. This happened a day after it started purchasing the fuel from Africa's largest oil refinery, the Dangote Refinery. So, what's driving fuel prices in the country? And can Dangote fix this alone with his oil refinery? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Dangote invested a lot of money into building Africa's largest refinery in Nigeria at a cost of about $20 billion. Many hoped it will dramatically decrease the price of petrol in a country known as the largest producer of crude oil in Africa. But so far, that has not been the case. Joining me is Ezekiel Uzochukwu, Nigerian analyst. And also with me is Ben Adam Shimang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Hello and welcome, gentlemen. Let me start with you, Ezekiel. Everyone in Nigeria was just wondering, waiting for the Dangote oil refinery to start, you know, running and things will be okay. A day after it starts running, we're talking about very high cost of fuel, petrol, in Nigeria. What's going on?
When the idea of Dangote refinery was mooted, everybody had high hopes. We believe that it will help us. We believe that it will stop the problem of incessant shortage of fuel and then stabilize the prices of fuel. But we were wrong. When it started, everything took another shape. The prices of fuel, rather than coming down, increased. And what we are hearing, we are not sure whether we are hearing the truth from Dangote. We are not sure whether we are hearing the truth from government. So we don't know who to believe. But what we know is that our hopes seem to have been dashed. We were expecting a better deal. But right now, I think it seems the situation has worsened rather than improved. We are hearing that Dangote is a problem. We are hearing that government is a problem. But we must know that the Minister of Petroleum is our president.
Let's try to get something from our correspondent, Ben Shimang, because Ben, as a journalist, you're trying to, you know, get information from all sides, from the government, from people on the ground, from representatives from the Dangote refinery. We know it's somehow up and running. We know it's up and running. But the effect on the ground, or the impact it's had on the ground, has not been felt yet. What are you hearing? What can you tell us?
What I'm hearing is what I'm about telling you, and I'm telling you that it's a blame game kind of a thing, because when Dangote is saying that his own refinery can actually refine 650 barrels per day, now NNPC is also telling Dangote, look, we don't have that crude to supply to you. Nigerians are worried. Why is it that if we have the crude, you are refusing to sell to a company that is here in Nigeria, here in Lagos? Now, NNPC will tell us that they will need foreign exchange. If they sell the crude abroad, it brings foreign exchange to the country. But Nigerians are again worried. Why is it that you can't sell it to the man refining at home and you want to import? When you import, there's this thing they call landing charges. When you bring it, at what price did you bring it? At what price are you bridging? At what price are you taking it to all over the states? And that's why the same NNPC is saying there's not going to be a unified price per pump in the country. What you buy in Lagos is different from what you buy in Maiduguri, different from what you buy in Calabar or Imo State, or different from what you buy in Abuja. So Nigerians are really confused. who is economical with the truth in this business?
Should we just see this as a way that they are trying to find a good working relationship or the friction at the beginning, or is there more to it?
I think the coming on stream of Dangote Refinery should have settled the matter. But the problem is that I think the whole thing boils down to corruption. The corruption and the will to deal with the issue of corruption. You know, the prices of fuel shouldn't have been a problem, because NNPC has the power to say this is what the price should be, because they cannot distance themselves from it. And Dangote coming on stream has helped us and is supposed to keep helping us. I don't think it's an issue of working relationship. Neither is it the issue of trust. But the problem is that there is a confusion, like Ben mentioned. The confusion is, who do we hold? Is it NNPC or is it Dangote? And nobody knows. So we believe that over time, maybe the problem may settle. But in the meantime, Nigerians are saying we need fuel at cheap price.
Ben, there's a saying that when two elephants are fighting, it is the grass that suffers. And we're talking about Nigerians having to deal with historic high cost of fuel, right? What exactly is the situation on the ground and how is it impacting lives?
Honestly, people are suffering. If you check many restaurants where people go to relax after the hard labor, kind of the hard day's work, they don't have customers. And even in trying to, where is the money? Apart from that, some run their restaurants using fuel. There is no fuel. The cost is that high. And when you buy it that high, of course, it has to go down to the consumer. The higher you buy, you also have to adjust the prices of your services. So be it transportation, be it eateries, even in schools, just name it. As we are talking today, Eddie, some offices have decided to do what you call shifting. You go to work either 2 days in a week, then the other days you are at home. Another group will go there 3 days so that the coming week they go twice. So that is what is happening today in government. Service delivery is just down there. This fuel issue has affected virtually every facet of life. You go to hospitals, it's the same thing. You run, operations are done using diesel, using petrol in hospitals. So many things are just down there, and Nigerians are feeling the impact. The impact is great.
These refineries, one can argue, have not been successful or were not successful when they were operating. What was the problem then? And what makes us think that Dangote somehow has the solution when all these other refineries didn't work out?
Like all government institutions are not run with the idea of profit motive, and it's not good. When you run an institution without profit motive, you can't get perfection, you can't get excellence. And the major problem was that there was no maintenance. The refineries were not being properly maintained. And because they were not properly maintained, every now and then we get problem of this one shutting down and this one shutting down until all of them close down. And the funny thing is that they are closed down, yet there are workers earning salaries. So what is the problem? So we believe that institutions must be run with the motive of excellence, with the intention of making profit.
Basically, you're saying that these oil refineries already existing in Nigeria did not work because someone failed to do what they are supposed to do. Who are we blaming?
Exactly. The maintenance was not done, was not being properly done, and nobody was being held to question.
Who should be blamed in this case?
The government should be blamed for lack of effectiveness. The government should be blamed for not operating a single, because all those refineries were being operated by government. Now, let me tell you, right from the time of Buhari, Buhari, right, I think he's from Obasanjo, who took up the title of, apart from being the president, he was the one supervising the petroleum industry. He was the minister of petroleum, down to Buhari, and our current president took it over. And he is the minister of petroleum.
It is not what you mean is that the presidency basically oversees that, you know, they have the power to oversee
exactly that. Exactly. He can stamp his feet and say this is what should happen. There is nothing like saying that the government is not going to be involved. How would the government be involved? How would the government leave the issue between NNPC and Dangote? It will not be resolved. The government has to take a position. The government has to decide and say, this is what you... In fact, the government is like the father. It's like the father. And an institution, an industry like petroleum is like the lifestyle of Nigerians. You cannot just leave it like that. You can't. You can't leave it like that. It's a very important institution. It's a very important industry that affects the life of every Nigerian. It affects everything we do. So you cannot leave it to Dangote and the NNPC and say, oh, let them resolve it by themselves. The government is not part of it. No. Okay. It can't be. It can't be.
Well noted. Ben, let me come to you basically to top up with what Ezekiel is saying. I mean, the government is, you know, one can argue that the government is quite unpopular because of the removal of the fuel subsidies, which many blame for, you know, at some point increasing the prices before even it got to this stage. But does it appear that the government is interested in mediating this pricing controversy so that citizens get the fuel at cheaper rates at the pump? And why, if that's not the case, why would they want to maintain the status quo as it is, Ben?
Now, let me give you the structure like Ezekiel was arguing. If you look at Ministry of Defense, the Minister of Defense is Badru Mohammed. Then you have Minister of State, Matawalle. Then when it comes to the petroleum sector, you have Minister of State, Henokun Bokogri. But we don't have a main minister as named, but the Minister of State goes to consult Buhari and Tinubu, so to speak. And that's the argument Ezekiel is putting. And that's where we call Buhari and the Tinubu the president and the minister of petroleum. But be that as it may, honestly, for government to say they are washing off its hands, that NNPCL, that L is limited. Limited, now who owns it? It's not PLC, but limited, now who owns it? It's the government that owns it. And that's why the government appoints the entire management team. It can sack, it can promote. They can't wash its hands off that. And when we're talking of supplying crude to Dangote, Dangote does not extract crude oil. It's NNPC that does it. And it does that on behalf of government. It sells to Dangote on behalf of government, receives money from Dangote on behalf of government. And government is now using that money via the Federal Allocation Committee to share to federal government, state government, and local governments. So government cannot say they are washing off their hands. And if they are pretending to be doing to wash off their hands, then that is why we have these problems as they are today.
Okay.
We need, yes, there's no government anywhere in the world where you cannot intervene when things are going bad, for example, exchange rate, or when foodstuff are going very scarce or very high that the masses cannot have. In the same way, when you have the petroleum sector that virtually determines very many facets of life in Nigeria, government cannot say, no, let me turn my back. Whatever happens there is for the two agencies, Dangote versus NNPCL. It's wrong as in wrong.
Okay, it is wrong as in wrong. Emphasizing how wrong it is, Ben Shimang, our correspondent on the ground. So I think if you want to talk about the problems, we will probably talk for hours because it's been ongoing for a while now. So let's try to find out what could be a good solution moving forward, because Dangote himself has been quite optimistic about the potential of his oil refinery. He basically said that if things go as they should go, Nigerians should be self-sufficient. Fuel should be as low as possible. And there should even be much more fuel to supply to the rest of the continent, right? So that's how optimistic he is. Now, what needs to happen, Ezekiel, for that to happen?
What we need to do is, first and foremost, let NNPC give Dangote refinery all the crude it requires. Secondly, let the government make sure that all the refineries that are moribund will begin to work. The Warri refinery, the Port Harcourt refinery, the Kaduna refinery. Let them begin to work and produce and refine our fuel. When you do that, there will be enough fuel in Nigeria, and the issue of pricing will be left to the market. It will be left to the market. When this is done, you can see that. What I mean, if you leave Dangote alone, he will become a monopoly. And we know the disadvantages of monopoly. By and large, Dangote refinery will become a monopoly and is not going to favor us. So let all the other refineries begin to work. Let NNPC give them crude. And then let the prices be determined by the market. Because the government cannot say it has washed its hand off, and then one way or the other, it intervenes in pricing.
So just to be clear on your position, you obviously want Dangote's refinery to be successful, to be up and running, to be provided with enough crude oil to operate with. But then also all the other old refineries that somehow have stopped working or are not operating to capacity, you also want them to be functioning because you are against a monopoly that could be held by Dangote.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Is there not the challenge also that Nigeria, even though it's Africa's largest producer of crude oil, also sometimes has to import crude oil from other countries? I mean, how does that even make sense?
Let me tell you, frankly speaking, Nigeria shouldn't be importing crude. It's like you are surrounded by a river and you are importing water. You can't be importing water when you have river. I don't know why Nigeria is importing crude. And many Nigerians are dumbfounded. Why should our country be importing crude? We should have enough crude. And then, if you want to keep importing crude, then let everyone that has the capacity import. Let everyone that has the capacity import, not only one individual or one firm or one organization or one institution. Let Dangote also import. Let other individuals import. Liberalize it. Let everyone import. If you don't have enough crude, to give them. That is the solution. In the absence of enough crude to give them, let all of them import.
Okay.
Don't limit it to NNPC only. When all of them import and refine, then they can fix the price they will sell. And you can now say, indeed, you have deregulated. But let me send a note of warning. It is very, very wrong to totally remove subsidy. You can't remove subsidy totally from a product like petroleum that determines the life of Nigerians. Every Nigerian needs this to survive. Transportation-wise, industry, everything. Yeah. The life of Nigeria revolves around this product. So there must be a level of intervention, whether by subsidy or whatever. Anything that must be done to stabilize the price, government should do it. They should not shy away from it. Okay. They should not totally leave it to the market.
So you are against, because there were some subsidies, and then when President Tinubu came into power, he took away the subsidies, which, according to people, that really hit them, and that really also, you know, impacted their cost of living, which skyrocketed. So you basically want the president to bring back the subsidies, and that would help while they still sort out the issue of, you know, allowing these oil refineries to operate. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. You can't totally remove everything, remove all the subsidy, and then the solution is not there. You don't have an effective transport system for Nigerians. You don't have no effective rail system. Nothing. You just remove subsidy like that and allow Nigerians to suffer. It's not right. You should allow some level of subsidy while sorting certain things out. And when everything has stabilized, you can now say, okay, we can do this or we can do that. But for now, it is very wrong to remove subsidy totally.
Right.
It's wrong.
Right.
Because the pain is too much on Nigerians.
Right. Ben, let me give you the chance to wrap it up, focusing on solutions to get to the point where Nigeria is self-sufficient from, you know, whether it's a Dangote oil refinery alone or together with other refineries, that even other African countries can benefit from it. Solutions.
Yes, in terms of a solution, the four refineries must come on board. Then there is this insecurity in the Niger Delta where pipelines of crude oil are always being blasted. And you now have oil thieves in the sea, in the creeks. So the Navy must come on board, and the amphibious police, they must come on board. Then in terms of blaming the government, yes, they must take that blame. Talking of the executive, being the presidency, then you go to the legislature. There is what you call oversight function. Every year, you allocate money that refineries that should be turned around maintenance. They've never done that. Have they ever gone to check to see that the money they appropriated for have been used for those purposes? And why is it that nobody has been arrested? Nobody has been tried? Nothing, nothing. So we need all of that. And they should work hand in gloves with Dangote so that if Nigeria, as we have today, has only the capacity 1.35 million barrels per day, now Dangote would need 650. If you have Port Harcourt, 150,000, you have Kaduna, 110, Warri, 120. You see that the fraction that will be left for export will be small. But even at that, some countries, Benin Republic, Niger Republic, and many others, they now find petrol, crude oil. They can bring it to Dangote to refine. They can bring it to any of the government refineries to be refined. In doing so, you are promoting African trade within Africa. You are going to employ people more. All this huge restiveness, you overcome many of these things if the petrol industry is right in Nigeria.
Thank you very much, Ezekiel Uzochukwu, Nigerian analyst, and Ben Adam Shimang, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Learned a lot from you guys. Thank you very much for your insights.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
This increase in fuel prices has driven up transport costs. That's adding to the already high cost of living, making it difficult for many Nigerians to afford basic necessities. Let's get some reaction from some Nigerians on the high fuel prices and what they expect to happen with the Dangote refinery coming on board.
I'm supposed to be in the office now. I'm not in the office. So I'll spend hours queue for fuel. I just left a filling station now. We're just two vehicles to buy fuel and it finished. So I have to come and start another queue again.
It's not enough to feed our local refineries. It's not enough to feed Dangote refinery, for instance, which is what we're talking about, right? They still have to import crude, and that is priced in dollars. So at the end of the day, they need to turn out a profit in their business.
Dangote refinery is a good initiative, but other layers, other refineries, the Port Harcourt refinery, the Warri refinery and other modular refinery must work for price to be stabilized. Licensed importers must be allowed to thrive. There will be healthy competition and price will fall.
Those were Nigerians reacting to the high cost of fuel prices. Now, it's not just Nigeria facing challenges, even with the blessings of oil. Angola is Africa's second largest producer of crude oil, with the oil industry making up about 90% of its exports. Despite being oil rich, many Angolans still live below the poverty line, making it difficult to access basic necessities like food. In its recent oil and gas conference, the Southern African country wants to increase production and much needed revenue to finance infrastructure projects and improve the livelihood of Angolans. Only time will tell if this will be a reality. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe with extra support from Isaac Kaleji. I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.